crucified him. And then we come close to this part. He was crucified. They were all scattered in places. They were hiding. The disciples were hiding in places, afraid. And these two guys, the Emmausjünger, one of them is even named here. Is there names of both of them? I think it's only one. And I was wondering how you pronounce that in, you say it in English. What's his name? Cleophas. Yes. And these two guys, they've been seeing all that happening. And they were very confused, decided, hey, let's leave Jerusalem. We'll just go. We'll just go. And they go back. And then, now let's read this. I have the New International Version here in NIV. And I will TV test. Anyway, I will read it to you now. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things, Jesus?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb earlier this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The night is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Word of the living Lord. I was reading this part and this part of scripture, and it was to me like there is a blessing when we read the word. Sometimes we read it and it doesn't get to us. It's like our eyes are held and we cannot see anything. We cannot hear anything. I was reading this And I asked God, Lord, from all the things that I can say to this, all the teaching that you can do, and there's so many things that you can... Have you heard sermons on this passage? There's a lot of sermons that have been written and held to this passage. And I was tempted to listen to some. I was tempted to read some. And I felt in my heart, no, don't do that. Don't be confused. Don't compare yourself with any other preacher. Because this is now just another time. Just listen to your heart. Trust what I put on your heart. And so I went into this word, and I felt like God said, there is only one verse that I want to... This is really nice. Thank you, brother. Very nice, indeed. Very nice. Okay, and I felt like God wanted me to focus on one verse in this passage. And I was thinking, oh God, how am I going to find this verse? And what do you mean? It's also so exciting. And he said, you'll find it. And I was reading it again and again. And my eyes, I wonder what you would have picked. But my eyes couldn't go beyond this verse 14 and 15, these two verses. And here it says, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You can think, well, that's strange. He's walking. They are walking, and he must have just joined in somehow and walked along, listened, and hi. And they kept talking. I wonder how I should imagine this to come to pass. Suddenly he was there. I want to join us? Come on. And then they talked. And they would think, I wonder about this talk. Because what they had seen, what they've been through, I think they were under some kind of a shock and were trying to digest, somehow handle, somehow sort it out what has happened here. But I think that they were kind of really distressed. They were not happy. They were confused and needed to find a way to sort this out. And I believe maybe they were doubting, because you can listen later on, doubting. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem. So probably they were quite disappointed, thinking, oh man, that was awesome. How could it happen that this guy killed? I mean, and they were shocked. And then I was thinking, God, what about us today? Do we do the same kind of talking sometimes? And I felt like maybe you've been in these kind of talks where you actually talk in the same way. You know, in church, we started a few years ago, and there was such a fire, and we expected God to come and move and do something, and we prayed for this person, and nothing happened, and I don't know. Where are we today? Just be honest. Do you know these kind of talks? And then you say, man, this is terrible. Let's go. Let's just go. We need to go. You can't. You don't want to be in this place anymore, because there's nothing. There's nothing more. You can't. It's not possible that he is risen. They did not seem to have really expected him to be alive. They would have sticked around and not just gone. And then it says here, he walked along with them. He came up and walked along with them. And I just felt, God, are you doing that sometimes with me too? You know, I have actually, some of you here, I have these talks. And we talk about what God is not doing. God is not doing. Why is he not doing that? Why is he not doing it now? And these kind of things. And we are disappointed. Very distressed we are. Wondering, why is he dying? Why is he gone? Why is he not there anymore? Why is he quiet? It's terrible. And this guy is just there and listens as if it's awesome, isn't it? And then he's there. And We cannot see him. And I ask God, are you the same way? Are you doing this also? Are you with me also in the same way? And just there, maybe sometimes in person, in my brother and sister, you are there. And I was wondering, God, I was asking God, okay, Lord, how did this go on? And you know what happened? He said to them kind of a few things, the stranger said a few things that were kind of harsh and a little schwer verdaulich. It says, how foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe. Wie kann man das übersetzen? How foolish are you and slow of heart. It struck me. I felt like, oh God, okay, slow to believe. And then he pointed out, did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, he goes into scripture and he goes into the word and he starts telling them, do you know there is a reason for everything and there is a purpose and there's a plan, Heilsplan, what's that in English? Plan of salvation. And there is a good idea. There is a Lord, and there is, even if we are bewildered at these times, you know, sometimes these talks about ES and all the terror, all these things happening, France, and even now the refugees and all this confusion. And I feel like Jesus is saying, did I not, in my word, tell you that these things will happen? And if we study the word, we will see quite a few things that happen in the same way. And it is foretold that it would come and that love in the last days would grow cold. I think, why are Christians growing cold in their love? Why are we not loving each other more? It is foretold in the Bible that it would happen. And we shouldn't be thinking, oh no, what has happened? Out of control, because he's there and he has a plan and a purpose and he's there to join us and to go into community and a communion and fellowship. And he just is there with us. He's there. He's there. Amen. Why is he there? What is he going to do? To comfort? To say, I'm alive. I'm not dead. And I'm not helpless. I have a plan to get you out of here. But let's just really go for it. Believe that all the things that I've told will come to pass. Go into scripture. Have mercy. English. Jesus. And so I was excited thinking, okay, Lord, scripture. And I feel like there is so many things that God wants to tell us. And it would be very good if you guys, if we would just say, Jesus, you know what? Stick with us. Just stay. Come in. Let's join us. Join us and let's have fellowship together. Seek his presence. Come into his presence and then learn from him, because he's a wonderful teacher. And then he will teach you things that have to do with your life. He has a plan. He wants to really help, and his arm is not too weak. And you know, it says here, we're not our hearts burning within us while he talked and while on the road he opened scripture up to us. I believe as we get in touch with this Lord, he wants our hearts to start burning again. Burning again for his truth and for us to go back to the places we left because we had no hope anymore. To go back and hope and pray again. To not go away from Jerusalem, but to come back. It says here they went back, really, they needed to go back fast because they knew he is alive and the others knew already. But let us all know he's alive. He's alive today. And I was amazed by only the thought that while we are talking here, I'm talking and you're listening, he's here. His presence, he's here. God is here. Jesus is here. The same guy who joined them is now here in this room. Any of these eyes here see it. Any of these ears here hear it. You know, we have ears to hear, sometimes we don't hear. We have eyes to see, we don't see. Because they are gehalten, hold. What does it say here? And I just feel like we can ask him, God, you know what? I don't want to go too far not seeing you. I want to see you. We can ask this prayer. God, open my eyes. to see you near me, to recognize you with me. I don't want to wait for night to come and communion. I want to, when he's there next to me, I want to realize, hey, it's you, Jesus, because scripture told me so. I knew it. You are here with me right now. Scripture told me so. So if we go into scripture, if you go into the word and we follow these things and we take them for serious, we just grasp and hold, then we'll realize he's there. And he has a lot of promises to be fulfilled in our lives for you, for me. To close up with a story, a few days ago, two months ago, I received a phone call. Can I pass on your number? I said, yes, you can. And then there was a guy who did not know Christ, was no Christian at all. And this guy was studying something that I'm not mentioning because you could recognize him. But anything, he was seeking the Bible, reading the Bible for studies, because just to know what the Bible is about, and read the book of Revelation. And then he was so scared, this guy, that he was thinking, God, what is this? And he was connecting what I'm reading here. This is actually very close to what I'm seeing out there right now. Is this something important? Is this real? I need to talk to somebody. And then he looked for any person that he know that is a Christian. And he met a girl. And he says, you are a Christian, right? And she said, yes. You need to explain me this. And he came with the book, the Revelation, and explain me this book. Is this real? And she said, I'm not the best kind of a teacher, you know. I'm a Christian, but, you know, you need to talk to somebody who knows. And then she came, she gave my number. And I was thinking, oh, God, okay, well, fine. And so I met this guy right next door. And next door we talked, and he had a lot of questions. And these questions were very challenging. I was wishing Alex was next to me, because I think he's a bit even. But anyways, so he had all these questions. And then at some point I said, you know what? I just think, to sum it all up, do you want to know if God is real? Is that possible? And he was so emotional. He said, I'm never emotional. What is this here? He was very upset. And we ended this after 2 hours. 2 months later, he came up to me and asked, can I talk to you? And we talked after the service. That was 2 weeks ago. And then I said, come, sure, let's take time. And then we talked. And then he asked a lot of questions again. And I was thinking, you know, I started not with Moses. I started with Adam. And I explained to him Adam and Eve and what happened and sin and the devil and falling angel and the whole thing. And then I started, no way back, chaos, man cannot help himself, and there needs to be a way. And Jesus, the cross, the blood. And he just followed the whole gospel, you know. And I just went through all these questions. And he was following. And his heart started burning. And suddenly he realized, oh, this is awesome. This is strange. Why am I crying? And he was really, really emotional. He said, I never cry. And I said to him, hey, it's all right. And then people were disturbing us, so we went upstairs. I locked the door to not be disturbed, because that was important. And then we talked 2.5 hours. And after that, he said, you know what? I'm gonna come 2 times into service, and then I'm going to decide. I said, that sounds like a deal, but I don't know if I'm going to be there. He said, why? Well, I don't know if this is a kind of a decision, you know, that I think you could do now. I don't want to push you, but it's possible to do this now. Why wait? I don't know if I'm going to be alive. I'm going to be around to tell you this and to help you with this. And he said, why? I just don't know. You never know how long you're going to live and if I'm going to be there. So if you want, there is a chance right now to make this decision. And he's like, that's right. Why not? And then we were actually making this decision. I mean, he said, what do I have to do? I said, do you want this? And he said, yes, I do. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord, that he loves you? I said, yes, I do. And he was so, the Spirit was working there a lot. And you know, it was grace. And I just tell this story because his heart was burning.
His heart was burning and the Spirit touched him. Isn't that amazing? And he gave his life to Christ. I just told a prayer and he joined in and we hugged as brothers. From totally never church-going person to in two times. And this is grace, you know. And it is, I don't know if you can imagine, if you've been a Christian for a long time, what it means to a person to find Christ, to receive him and have fellowship with him. And the thing is, what happens afterwards, I saw this guy a day later and he was lit up. He was just bright light. It was amazing. He's so thankful. And God is, I gave him a Kinderbibel from upstairs to read for a start. And he's so happy to meet me again, to learn more about the gospel. Amen. Anyways, I don't want to say more. I just want to encourage you to really love Jesus and to follow Jesus and to see that he's with you. And if you are in trouble, and if you don't, you have questions, and like these disciples, you walk away from him because you don't understand why he's so dead to you and dying there and just where you needed him. I don't know. He is risen, and he's able to show you that he's there. And he's able to reveal himself before your very eyes that he's there, that he's the Lord, and that it's a wonderful plan for you. Because that's the start point. That's the start. That's where it all started. Amen. I mean, with these disciples, he sent them. Amen. I'm done. I mean, it's enough, isn't it? You need to say more? Lord, we just praise you. Lord, there's much more we can say, I could say, but God, I want you to speak to these my wonderful sisters and brothers. I want you to speak and ask you, God, that you would help us to find love again for this word of yours, the Bible, and your living word as you speak to us in these secret places. God, speak to our hearts what is on your heart and help us to be changed, to be full of hope and to go back and hope for everything we hope for. And pray for these people in desperate need and in trouble, in darkness, to get them out of there. Help us, use us. Lord, we pray for this church and for all churches in Marburg. Help us to wake up and use every day that remains for us. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. Use this time of worship now to come into your presence. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.